Hunter's Moon, written by Steve Gallagher. Episode 2. Randall's efforts to escape from the Ice Palace, an isolated prison community on the polar ice cap, have led him and his fellow exile, Lobo, through a dangerous blizzard to a concealed landing field. Randall's plans to hijack an antiquated cargo shuttle to take them back to the city have come to nothing, as they discover that the setup is unmanned and automated.
Is it essential I stay? I have nothing that I can truthfully say to this man.
Say something untruthful, then. Just as long as he gets an impression of power in action and takes his cringing complaints elsewhere.
Then why are we bothering to see him at all?
You tell me you helped design this god-awful democracy. It's a pain in the backside.
Get it over with, then.
Couple more minutes. Power's best measured by the length of time you can get people to hang around for you.
Is that why you made sure you weren't here when I arrived?
Come on, Morden, you don't really mean that. We're partners. You know I couldn't run this show without you.
Get it over with, then.
Sir?
That police on the roof. Go get him down here.
Yes, sir.
Hey, wait. What about his file?
On your desk, Counselor.
And that's all. Get going. Something wrong with that kid. I don't think she likes me. You want me to read you any of Kelloran's files?
I'm familiar with it.
This isn't Chandler's information. It's my own. I wanted to see if I could get some dirt together about the elite. You never know when it might be useful.
And have you got the kind of dirt you wanted?
No damn chance. Either they're more devious than I am, or they're the most upright bunch of creeps in the city. I don't like anything I can't buy. The only people I can get to are the pilots. Take them away from their helicopters and their nervous wrecks after a week.
Central bred for specific strains. You can't wipe that out as easily as the administration.
No. But the elite were bred to respect and defend authority, right? Without Central, that leaves you and me.
And Chandler.
Forget Chandler. I'll work something out for him.
This way, please.
Good afternoon, Inspector, isn't it? And may I congratulate you on your recent promotion. I'm Councillor Marius. This is Councillor Morden. You know Chandler, of course, but unfortunately he can't be here.
I saw him separately at Elite Headquarters. He said my inquiry was a matter of general policy and should be referred to you.
And what inquiry is that?
I sent you the details in advance.
No doubt they're around here somewhere. Tell us anyway.
I've been trying to find out about the progress of Randall's appeal. I'm sure I don't have to explain who I'm talking about.
Oh, of course not. What exactly do you want to know?
Where he is, why he's not been released and reinstated.
Well, simple questions deserve direct answers. Firstly, he's in a prison camp at a location I'm obviously not at liberty to reveal. And secondly, he stays there because he was tried by the council and found guilty of treason. The verdict stands pending appeal, but I might as well warn you not to hold out any hopes of it being reversed.
With respect, Counselor, I'm appalled. Randall carried through his duty to the city right up to the end. There's no grounds for condemning him.
There are certain ambiguities about the whole affair which throw some doubt onto that.
Only doubts? What about proof?
In a case as extreme as this, we have to err on the side of safety, if at all. Treason, Inspector Kelloran. How does your elite training react to that?
Not at all, if it's not proven.
Let me put it another way. No repeating of this, you understand, because the secrecy of the original proceeding still holds. We gave careful attention to the recording of your exchanges with Randall when he was in communication with you from inside the central computer building. The way it sounded, Randall was the only one alive in there when the computer started into its shutdown procedure.
Are you saying he started the procedure?
That's how it looks.
Then he put you into power, Counselor.
What kind of treason do you call that?
You've missed the point. Treason is an attempt to damage the state, and it doesn't matter who's representing the state at the time of the act. Central was authority then, and the Underbelly Council is authority now. And a rebel is a rebel, and just as dangerous in either case.
So what about Mitchell?
Mitchell's quite different. He happens to be dead, and the city needs a hero. Memories of the dead are much easier to control than the activities of the living.
Does that make him any less of a rebel?
It makes him whatever we care to say it makes him. Morden, you must have some ideas on this. Do you want to add anything?
No, nothing, Marius. You're doing perfectly well without me.
I'm sorry if this isn't what you wanted to hear, Inspector, but it's important you understand some of the problems that face us all.
Obviously, I'm not appreciating the politics behind your decision. I thought I was here over a matter of simple justice.
Whoever told you that justice was a simple matter, Inspector? I'll agree it's a pleasant ideal, but at this crucial stage in our history, it's one we can hardly afford. These are times of change, and the city needs strength from its leaders above everything else. That means the strength to do what we know is right, even when our feelings tell us it's wrong.
I'm not prepared to let it rest at that.
This interview is over! You'll understand that there are more practical pressures on the council than would allow us to continue this hypothetical debate. Go back to your work, Inspector, and be grateful that one way or another your city holds together. I have to go now, Morden. I'll see you later.
Obviously, you're not satisfied.
Am I hiding it so badly?
You're not hiding it at all. That's dangerous, and you should be more careful.
If I'm reckless, it's because there are limits on the resilience of my loyalty. Before Central fell, I served a rotten city without complaint. I didn't complain because I didn't even understand the concept of social change. Now I've seen progress, and the city's more rotten than ever.
I told you to be careful. Remember, I'm a councillor.
I remember when you were the biggest crook we ever chased, Morden. He never could pin down any of your factories.
Progress is only more of the same. Then it was crime. Now we call it free enterprise. But listen to me, and be warned about Marius. It is not beneath him to take your complaint personally and interfere in your career.
I hardly care.
Shut up and listen. Right now, he's probably speaking to Chandler about you. I'm not without influence myself, so I'll do my best to persuade Chandler not to take any action. But you've got to learn to keep your mouth shut.
You mean knuckle under?
I mean that a public show of bitterness works against your cause, not for it.
What else can I do? Whether I like it or not, I'm still loyal to the city.
Then it's about time you learned otherwise. Blind loyalty is totally without value to anybody apart from a dictator, whether it's Central or Marius. At the moment, the future of the city depends on an elite force of fawning puppies, overtrained and under Marius.
Marius isn't the whole council.
Believe that if you must. Believing doesn't make it so.
All right, Morden, what is this? Some kind of test on my loyalty. See how far you can lead me and then turn me in. Well, hard luck. I'm not staying to be set up and knocked over.
Go, then. Go and prop up your festering city. I overestimated your resources.
Listen, Morden. I may not be much more than a kid, but I'm the best Central good breed. I'm elite, Morden. I don't have to listen to that kind of talk from the...
From underbelly, scum! Say it! If it's what you mean.
I'm sorry, Morden. I deserve that.
The polite thing would be to say, forget it, Talorum. Don't ever forget it. The offense is just a small part of the load you will always carry if you don't work to wipe it out. You are the end result of an obscene experiment. And there is so much to avenge.
Why me? Why am I so special?
Because you're here. You didn't accept. You challenged.
So what? It's got me nowhere.
Of course not. Now it's up to you.
Surely there are legal processes.
Oh, forget the legal processes. Marius has them in his pocket like everything else.
You're bigger than Marius.
I used to be. Not anymore. Now nobody's bigger than Marius. Talorum, what do you most want out of life?
Right now, I want justice for Randall.
Justice for Randall consists, at this moment, of imprisonment in an unguarded base on the polar ice cap. He's living on the brink of survival, and the labor of the rest of his life will never put him more than an arm's length away from that brink. There's no way he could leave without help.
Where is this prison?
It isn't shown on any map, but there is a way it can be reached.
What makes you think we'll be safe here?
We'll be as safe here as anywhere. If he tries hard enough, he'll find us wherever we are.
Yeah, but it's hardly more than a goddamn cupboard.
It's also near the engine, so it's warm enough to keep you alive and noisy enough to cover your complaining. Can you think of anywhere better?
Ah, it's weird, Randall. This ship's old, and there's nobody flying it.
Automatics. It has to be. I can hardly believe that a shuttle like this would still be working after all these years. Why go to all this trouble for a few crates?
And look what was in them.
Yes. Somebody went to the trouble of patching this wreck up and uncovering part of the dockyards near the Ice Palace with the sole intention of deep-freezing prisoners and taking them away in secret. But why?
I can think of a few things. I don't like any of them. A fresh meat supply, for instance.
Oh, come on, think positive. At least we're out of the palace.
Yeah, it's not much consolation. Where are we going?
One thing's certain. There's off-world technology involved. The city hasn't got the resources or the know-how anymore.
I never thought I'd see it. The space trade seemed like kids' stories. I mean, how, Randall, they could be taking us anywhere.
Not outside our own star system, not in this ship. Yes, but you're right.
How are we going to get back?
There's only one courier. We'll have to force him to land us somewhere near the city.
What if he's armed?
What if he is? We've still got exactly the same range of choices. We go with him or we make him take us back.
Oh, son, really easy. You go ahead. I'll be here if I'm needed.
Can you think of a better way?
No.
Well, then. Look, we know he's looking for us. He saw us steal the loading wagon and ride into the cargo hold on it. He sealed the hatches when he came in, so he knows we were still on board when the ship lifted.
If he's armed, he can pick us off whenever he feels like
it. So we'll have to surprise him. We've heard him walking the corridor outside. So next time he passes, we'll swing the door out and come out behind him. Take an arm each and slap him against the nearest box.
Sounds a bundle of fun. Why don't we... Second time around. What if he finds us?
Be quiet or he will. Now, start to ease the door open.
Where did he go?
Must have turned the corner. Follow me.
How do you know this is the right way?
How do you know it isn't?
Let me get to him. I can drop him in one.
Stick to the plan and move together. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And now!
No! Oh, God, Randall, he's strong. I can't hold him down.
Don't let him lift you.
No.
Stay back. I'll kill you if I have to.
God, what is he, Randall?
I don't know. But he looks like an awful parody of somebody I did once know.
But it isn't even a man.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Can you tell me where to find the Mitchell funeral?
Are you a registered relative, sir, or a professional?
Professional what?
Professional mourner, sir. If that's the case, I have to inspect your card.
Which card?
The Mutes Union. I'm the branch steward, and I have to watch out for the members' interests.
Well, I'm not a professional mourner.
An amateur? Beat it, slug. We don't want your kind here. Some of us have a living to make without your morbid profiteering.
I'm the police officer assigned to witness the cremation. You should have a note on my name.
Just a minute. Killoran, is it?
That's right. Where do I go?
Chapel of Rapt Contemplation. Down the corridor, up the stairs, through the doors, and forth on your right. Check before you go in. All the chapels look the same from the outside.
What about the inside?
They're all the same as well. But who cares? Once you're in, you've got plenty of time anyway. The cleric's late. The family's got one of those rotating vicars laid on.
What the hell's a rotating
vicar? Language, sir, if you don't mind. Here in the house of whatever deity you happen to subscribe to. A lot of our clerics subscribe to the local group practice, and they cover each other's assignments to make sure they all get a decent amount of time off. The only trouble is, they're always late. They never know where anything is when
boys,
they arrive.
Boys, that's what comes of depending on the slug and public transport in the city. Oh, what have you got for me today, then?
About time, too. Even the deceased's getting impatient. These your bearers?
Oh, this lot here. Why, what's wrong with them?
Have them come forward into the light, and I might tell you. Oh, God. Is that the best you could do?
Oh, they're all good lads. You shouldn't go by appearances.
Have a heart, sir. We need the work, honest.
What about that little short one? He won't even be able to reach.
What taller than I look, sir?
He works hard to make up for it, sir.
Oh, I don't know why I bother. It's nothing to me, anyway. If the client complains, I'm throwing it straight back to you.
Well, who is the client, then?
Police department.
Oh, slug, eh? Smart not, lads. Chapel of Rapt Contemplation, isn't it?
That's right. You can show this gentleman the way. His name's Mr. Killoran, and he's the elite officer in supervision.
Oh, well, one of those, eh?
Yeah. And we'll have less of the fire and brimstone this time. Another incident like last week, and the director says he'll bar you.
Well, what does he want? People expect value.
That's all very well, but the Chapel of Rapt Contemplation isn't the place for screaming hysteria over the struggle between good and evil.
Ah, you've got no soul.
None that I'd trust to you.
Mrs. Mitchell, can I speak to you for a moment?
Who are you?
My name's Killoran. I'm a police officer. Remember me now?
I remember you. Don't you think you've done enough? You're not welcome here.
I have to be here, Mrs. Mitchell. I'm the only available senior officer from your husband's case.
That may be so, but I don't think we've got anything to talk about.
Perhaps not. But can I see you after the service?
I can't imagine why.
I need your help, Mrs. Mitchell. There's something I'm going to do, and I need to be sure I'm doing the right thing.
After the service. Please don't bother me before that.
I'll wait for you outside.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Chapel of Rapt Contemplation. We hope you'll enjoy the program that we've set out for you, and that you'll consider us for similar occasions in the future. Tissues are freely available from the box in front of your seat. The Chapel of Rapt Contemplation is run by the Worldwide Worship Combine for your spiritual comfort.
There's a new cloud in the sky, and a tear in every eye. And we know you want the best for them as you wave them goodbye. It's known throughout creation that we do the best cremation. So turn your face to heaven and never say die.
Okay, boys, just deposit the loved one on the trestles over there.
Good afternoon, both of you, and may I offer my commiseration on this saddest of days. The service will continue after a short message from our sponsors.
Mr. Killoran?
That's right. Who are you?
I'm Nurse Whelan. Mrs. Mitchell's in my care. I understand you want to talk to her.
Yes. Is there anything wrong with her?
Probably not. She's been improving steadily for some time. I wouldn't like to see all that good work undone by irresponsible talk of what's gone by.
That's not why I'm here. My official job's done now. If anything, I need her help.
Really? Oh, there's a change. I hope the novelty of being needed doesn't prove too much for her.
I'll be careful.
You'd better. Being in the elite doesn't mean what it used to under the computer. I could make a complaint to the council and have your rank.
It won't be necessary.
Let's hope not. You see that bench over between the sacred fountain and the memorial litter bins? I'll send her over to it when she comes out.
Alone?
Naturally.
I don't have long. I'm not even sure I want to be here. What is it you have to say?
Now it comes to it, I'm not even sure how to start.
You surprise me. I thought uncertainty was a feature confined to human beings.
What do you mean?
Why should I explain? You're the elite. You don't have to care about our problems. Just chase us, pursue us, stamp on us, kill us. You're not men. You're machines, designed and built by a machine. Designed for persecution.
Suppose that's true. Suppose we rebuild the city, start it all over again, and one man threatened to pull it all down. How else could we act than the way we did?
If it's so frail and unbalanced that one man can pull it down, it doesn't deserve to stand.
I don't understand you, Mrs. Mitchell.
I'm surprised it bothers you.
Last time we talked, your husband was on the loose and out in the underbelly somewhere. I remember you told us that you didn't care where he was or what he was doing, and furthermore, you didn't want to know. All you wanted were your tapes and your dreams.
Now I have neither. You're wrong about the last time we talked, Mr. Killoran. That was on the library mezzanine.
That hardly counts, does it?
Why? Because I was hysterical. Because I got roaring, screaming drunk. You don't know anything. That was the most important day of my life.
Do you remember much of it?
Like crystal in cold water. I remember leaving the computer terminals with an armload of tapes and going down into the foyer. I remember the outer doors bursting in and three men charging through the crowd. They weren't stopping for anything. People were thrown aside and the cleaner's bucket was kicked out of the way and spilled solvent everywhere. They rushed on and went over the turnstiles. And then I recognized him and he recognized me. He slowed down and stopped. We were looking at each other. We were yards apart, and there were hundreds of people between us. And his friends had stopped on the stairs and were calling to him. He seemed not to hear them at first. Then he turned and ran with them. The next day they were dead and the city was down. There, Mr. Killoran. Does that make your inquiry neat and complete? Is that what you wanted to hear?
Randall didn't kill him, you know. The computer did.
And where's the real difference?
And who's the real rebel, Mrs. Mitchell? Your husband was a hunted killer. He had nothing to lose. Randall staked everything when he started the deprogramming sequence.
My husband's dead.
And Randall may as well be. He's been stranded without a real trial on the polar ice cap.
Well, how can you object? When the state decrees, the elite obey.
Not this one.
What?
I don't know where I'm up to, and I can't talk to anyone. I hoped you might understand.
I don't. I think you're trying to trick me into saying something.
Of course. Isn't that what you expect of the die-hard elite? Fanatically loyal to the state. Except that I no longer know what the state is. Once it was a computer, and the underbelly were a bunch of crooks to be held at arm's length. Now, those same crooks are giving the orders, and the computer's the worst evil in human history. I've watched other officers around me. Their loyalty's like a light bulb. It's bred into them, and they switch it on and off for whoever happens to be in charge. They follow the possession of power, not the right to power. And after what I've seen, I can't.
And what have you seen?
Randall and I were a team. I had to watch him and learn from him so that I'd eventually be able to take on the same kind of authority. After all those years of loyalty training, Randall was, for me, the most immediate and understandable example of what the elite stood for. When he killed the governing program, I understood why. Because I'd been with him along the path of ideas which led to the action. I could see that he was serving the state as an abstract concept, not as a particular form of government. Both he and Mitchell had the same idea in the end. Whose hand turned the key made no real difference.
But that's not what the Underbelly Council say.
Don't you see? That's where I get desperate. Before the decision came out, I was ready to accept it as a good elite officer. I knew that the state had been improved and I expected Randall to be reinstated with honour. It didn't happen and I was lost. I still am.
And what do you think I can do about it?
I don't expect you to do anything. But I had to be here by way of duty, and you're the only person I could think of to talk to who might understand what I was saying. Anyone else would call it sedition.
But I wouldn't.
You were there. You followed the whole story through, and you know where it led. For everybody else, it's been twisted and turned round by publicity as an exercise in manipulation by the council. They're attempting to manufacture history to consolidate their own authority, to remove the precedent that such authority can be challenged. It's working.
Congratulations, Mr. Killoran. You're the last sane man in the world. And what are you going to do about it?
I'm the last of three. One's dead, but the other can be reached. And I know how.
Such ambition. And such ideals. The harder you push them, the harder the world pushes back. We've both seen it happen.
There's a ship. An icebreaker. I got this information from the council, so I know it's good. It makes irregular trips out to the camp with supplies. I've seen the captain, and he's agreed to take me out and bring me back for a suitable consideration. But I'm going to bring Randall with me.
You've got my sympathy. Nothing else, because I've nothing else to give.
It's enough. Do you still blame Randall for killing your husband?
Oh, how easy it would be for me if I did. I could play the aggrieved widow and demand justice, and in the end be satisfied. But the hard truth I have to live with is that if anybody killed him, I did, years ago. The rest of his life was a desperate attempt to get back, and in the end he failed.
What's that?
My personal alarm. That means it's time for my medication. Nurse Whelan carries one that's synchronized to it.
Mrs. Mitchell!
Coming! Goodbye, Mr. Killoran. I believe in you, if that's what you want to hear. And if it isn't, well, I don't know what I can say. Except good luck.
I don't believe it. He's lying, Randall.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but look at it. A robot and not even well made. They are better in the library.
Don't shout at me. I can't understand you if you shout.
Then tell us who you are and why you're here.
They told me I was a man. They promised me and I believed them.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now calm down, both of you. Now, who are they?
The WEC. I suppose they built me. I'm recruiting for them.
Ah, damn it, Randall. Make him tell us how to get the ship back to the city.
I told you, I've got no control over it. I just ride with it to and from the pickup point.
From the pickup point to where?
To the main ship for delivery. I collect the men off the ice and crate them, and then I take them out to the main ship.
He's lying. What do off-worlders want with deep frozen scum like Willis?
They want models. They collect basic types of men and copy them. It seems that I was the first one they made.
Yeah, when are they going to come back and finish you?
Lobo.
Well, look at him, Randall. He's not a man. He's a parody. He didn't even fight when we cornered him.
He may be cleverer than you think. If you try and fight in low gravity, you're as likely to injure yourself.
So what's all this birdseed about an off-world race?
It's true.
So why tell us so freely?
You asked me.
That's no damned answer.
But what am I supposed to say?
Now, quiet. Look, we're getting nowhere like this. Let's go over what we know so far.
Damn all.
We've established that the off-worlders are copying the men they steal from the Ice Palace during the storms. Now why?
Their ship is their world. They've got no natural resources of their own, and the world's too small for them to process raw materials from the asteroid belts. They can only survive and expand by tapping the production of industrialized worlds too weak to offer any defense.
But why the copies?
They never leave the ship themselves. They always take the native form and improve on it to make an invasion force.
What do you mean, always?
They've been doing it for thousands of years, system after system. They hibernate between stars whilst the inboard computer scans local systems for civilized activity. When they find it, the ship moves into stellar orbit and wakes them up.
Thousands of years on a ship?
Not the same one. That's why they need to strip the worlds of other races. They're building another one, bigger, and they tow it along with them. When it's finished, they'll migrate into it and start breaking down the old one for a new, even bigger one. It's the only way they can expand.
Birdseed.
At least let him finish.
They sense the city and they want it. They found this old shuttle in an abandoned orbit and sent me down in it to establish contact.
Now stop there. Where did they get you?
They told me I was a man. I knew they were lying, but I wouldn't face it. Because they didn't have a model to start with, they scanned the city's records for a composite simulacrum.
I think that explains something. It was bothering me. Go on.
What else do you want to know?
I want to know how you set up this kidnap network.
I didn't. I contacted a counselor with their proposals, and he set it all up. I worked to the instructions he gives me.
Which counselor?
Marius. They promised him a lot for his cooperation. It's hardly started yet.
What's holding them back?
The simulacra. Models like me. Don't call me a robot. They're trying to make one that's near perfect and completely loyal.
Loyal like you?
I don't even understand the word. Look at me. I'm trash. And they promised me I was a man.
Well, then take it to heart. There's worse than you walking around the city.
Change of heart, Lobo.
Well, hell, Randall, he's worse off than us. That must be worth something.
But do we believe him? Well, look at him. He's rough and unfinished, and he's definitely mechanical.
We're not mechanical. We're fast grown onto a skeleton of...
Don't interrupt. There's no technology in the city which would be able to produce anything like that.
Yeah, but what about the other settled worlds? One of the other systems on the trade network?
Yes, it's possible. The alien story could be a cover.
Yeah, well, cover or not, how do we get back?
If the robot's right, we don't.
I know you told me not to interrupt, but I'm not a robot. Please don't call me one.
Well, what do we call you then? Whatever you said.
I've got a name. It's not much, but it's mine.
What then?
I can tell you that. His name's Mitchell. Am I right?
Hunter's Moon was written by Steve Gallagher.